With me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 40th chapter of Job. Job chapter 40, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." Then the Lord answered Job, then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God? Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud, and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee. He eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river, and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So we go in the last chapter from the Lord preaching his providential and sovereign care over the places where man has never tread the sole of his foot to something different here in these first 14 verses. And so we want to notice in this first section that the Lord now turns his speech directly to Job, and there is something about the way the Lord speaks to Job that he feels compelled to answer. It's a little different than what has gone on before now. And so notice what he says. The Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him?" And so notice that the Lord stops speaking in general and begins to speak very specifically to Job himself and to the sin in which he indulged himself. And so what is the sin that God accuses Job of doing here? He contended with the Almighty. He feigned to instruct and correct him, right? He thought himself capable of entering into judgment with God such that he might say, "Well, I think I could do it better. I think my understanding would be greater. God has lost his marbles. He's afflicted me without a cause," and so on and so forth, to draw God into the judgment and to say that he could do it better. I know that there are those who have said that about God, not just Job, but others have said that. A few years back, I was talking to someone and talking about God creating the world, and that's what he said to me. "Well, if I created the world, I think I could do it better." Okay. What do you say to folks like that, right? Well, you bring them to Job chapter 40, don't you? All right, so then we want to see Job's answer here, and we want to see some improvement. However, we don't want to say Job is done. And I want to make use of that pastorally for us all here today. That there are some times when, as we draw back from sin, we say something like, well, I'll stop doing that. And we think that that's enough. But it's really not. There's something that's required of us by Scripture beyond simple stopping or ceasing from committing that sin. There is digging out the root of it, and very often I think we content ourselves with ceasing the fruit and not digging out the root. Notice that the Lord will not let Job stop with just taking out the fruit, that he's going to drive him to digging out the root as well, which we don't see until chapter 42. We see the fruit being drawn away here, but we don't see the root being dug out until then. And may I say that partial repentance is not enough. And this is what we see here. Now, I'm not saying that Job is saying he's done. I'm not saying that. I am saying, however, that many times we say we're done when really we're not. We haven't yet got to the root of things. Okay? Repentance, biblically speaking, well, just remember what we've just said about repentance unto life in our confessional documents here. That there's a lot required for it to be biblical repentance unto life. Okay. So let's see what Job's first step in the right direction is, because it is that. And we do want to commend any step toward reformation and uprightness. And so the Lord says, okay, Job, answer me. You've been pretty chatty all the way through this book. All right. Shall you contend with me? Do you think that's a good idea? Answer me. And Job says, behold, I am vile. What can I say unto thee? That's a step in the right direction, isn't it? Before, he had no trouble drawing God into judgment, saying that his judgment was better than God's, or God has left off judging uprightly, and so on. He had no problem saying any of that to those friends that had assaulted him. But now the Lord challenges him face to face, as it were, to bring that same accusation that he had leveled before out against him. And Job says, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. I've learned my lesson. I'll zip it up. Is that all that's required of Job? It's not, but it is a movement in the right direction. And so then, the Lord, because he's faithful, he doesn't say, oh, Job, you've done so good in the step that you've made thus far. He doesn't say that, because Job still has a long way to go. And he says, gird up thy loins like a man. I will ask of thee, and you will respond. Right? You get the impression that the Lord is, in his chastisement, angry with his servant. Angry in the chastisement sense, not in the judgment sense. He's still moving him down the road to a proper repentance. And so he says, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. And then notice these questions. And these are fearful questions that we don't ever want God to ask of us. Listen to what he says. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous? May I say that whenever we rise up and rebel against God, whether it's his providence, his word, his gospel, the preaching of whatever it is, when we rise up and rebel against him, that is exactly what we're doing. We are disannulling his judgment, we are condemning him, and we are justifying ourselves. And that is it's the path to destruction. Should we persist in that? Then notice what the Lord does to disabuse Job of that course. Hast thou an arm like God? Another question. Or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency. Array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath. Behold everyone that is proud and abase him. Can you really be a judge, Job? Can you see all of the men of the world and know who is to be judged and who is to be vindicated. Can you do that? Look on everyone that is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together and bind their faces in secret. Then the Lord says, then will I confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Did you hear what the Lord just said there? That the way of self-righteousness, if it was true, would have been wrapped up in that description of it that he just gave. Self-righteousness requires that you are able to judge rightly not only yourself, but every person on the face of the world that has ever lived. Self-righteousness requires that you be like God. In other words, this is why it is such a fool's game. It is such folly. Oh, the Pharisee pretended to be able to do it, didn't he? When he, in that parable that Christ spoke of, met with the publican at the temple. He professed to be able to do that. I thank thee, Lord, that I'm not like other men, especially like this publican over here. He was able to judge everyone else perfectly and himself, so he thought. Right? And so the Lord tells us then what that course looks like and the folly of pursuing it. All right, so then what does he do? Well, the Lord returns then after that majestic rejection of Job's self-righteousness. The Lord then returns back to talking about the animals of the world. Not only the unseen things, the hidden things of the world, the judgment of men's hearts must you be able to do in order to justify yourself, but you must also be able to rule the world, which includes ruling over Behemoth. And we don't know what animal that is. It might be an elephant, it might be a hippopotamus, some great animal that spends its time in the rivers, right? That spends its time without any hurry wherever he's going. That is not tasked, right? His strength is in his loins, the force of his navel is in his belly. He moves his tail like a cedar, sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are strong pieces of brass like bars of iron. And he is the chief of the ways of God. What does that mean? In other words, that God rules over him as well. Even though he is the biggest and the strongest and something that you would think, I just need to stay away from him. God says, I rule over him too. I rule over him too. Job, can you rule over him? I do. All the time. Every day, and not just one, but all of them considered as a class belong to me, and I rule over them, right? Oh, you might see every now and then someone that's able to, you know, to forge a master relationship with a beast, even like an elephant, and they will be subservient, maybe for the rest of their lives. But remember that that's one elephant. Now do that to a herd. Now do that to every herd that's ever lived. That's what it takes. It's interesting that our minds go there. Oh, well, I've seen an elephant trained. So what? You've seen an elephant trained. Have you seen a herd of elephants trained? Have you seen all the elephants trained? Have you then provided for them the shade trees and the rivers where they hang out and where they lumber around? Let's make sure we're reading God in context here and what he's truly saying to Job. All right, so then he moves on. He drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through the snares. And so that's why people, because of his nose, his trunk, and so on, they've thought maybe an elephant there. All right, well, thus ends the reading then of Job chapter 40. Next week.